Welcome to the, let's get started. Let me be, make sure I'm ready. Welcome to the May 1st, 2024 City of Rome Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. It is approximately 6:40. We're going to get started by taking the roll of members. Raymond Tucker.
Present.
Joe Pasqualetti. Jim DeCastro. Here. John Megelino.
Present.
And I'm John Cervello from the Corporation Counsel's office. We have Angie Toomey, and from the Codes office, we have Mark Domenico. We have two items on the agenda for tonight. We're going to go a little bit out of order, just because we think one might take a little longer than the other. So we're going to first address 24-008, Polish National Catholic Church, owner of 715-801 Hickory Street, is seeking to replace the existing freestanding sign with a combination fixed digital message sign to advertise the on-premises activities. The new signs will be installed between two existing masonry pillars. This requires an area variance because it's located in an R1-8 zone, and the Rome Zoning Code Section 80.16.10d says that electronic, under Section I, electronic message signs are permitted for any school, government office, park, or cultural facility in any district. Electronic message signs are permitted in the C2, GB, and I districts for non-residential uses. Area variance is required. Okay. Is there anybody here representing this project? Oh. Mr. Tucker?
Motion to table.
Take a motion to table.
Second.
I think Joe Pasqualetti beat you to it. So we got a second to table. All in favor say aye. Opposed
aye.
Say no. All right. 24-008 is tabled. All right. So next on the agenda, we have a special use permit. Last meeting, we tabled item 24-007. Arif Alam from Emeryn, representative 5792 Old Oneida Road, is seeking to construct a Tier 3 solar energy system. This requires a special use permit. It's in an ag district. Rome Zoning Code Section 80-19.11-8 says that a Tier 3 solar energy systems are permitted through the issuance of a special use permit by the Zoning Board of Appeals as defined in Section 80-19.2 in the districts identified in table 80-12.1. Anybody here to represent this project? All right, guys, if you're gonna come forward and speak, please state your name, your address, and your relationship to the project, and I will quickly swear you in. Down there would be great.
Yeah, right into the microphone. Right?
Yeah, if you can speak into the microphone, that would.
Pull the microphone right on.
Yeah. We're good.
My name is Matt Pasquinelli. I'm a project development manager at Emeryn. I live in Southwest Pennsylvania. What else did you want me to say?
Your relationship to the project.
Okay. I work with Arif, who's in charge of the project, okay. So I know a little bit about it, and I can.
How do you say your last name again?
Pasquinelli.
Pasquinelli. Okay, Mr. Pasquinelli, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. Will you be speaking as well?
Hello, my name is Brian Barron. I'm with C&S Engineers. Our address is 499 Colonel Eileen Collins Boulevard, Syracuse, New York 13212.
And you're the engineer for the project?
Yep. CNS has prepared all the civil plans as well as the environmental due diligence for the project.
Okay, great. Mr. Barron, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, fantastic. Do you need me to read anything in? All right, we're good. All right, so at this point, we want you guys to, you guys are going for a special use permit, so we want to you guys to address the standards required for that and kind of tell us about your project while doing that at the same time and go over as many things. Can you just confirm one thing for me before you get started? There is a requirement for notification to for within applicants shall have delivered the notice by first class mail to all landowners within 1,000 feet of the property line at least 10 days prior to such hearing. Do you have proof that that has happened?
I'll work on proof, but yes, it's happened.
Okay.
Sam is on the call. Yeah. I don't know if he's able to speak as well.
I don't know. Do we have that possibility? Okay. All right. Well, he heard us. So he's working on it right now.
I'll get an email. Yeah.
We good to move forward with that? Okay. Just make sure before we finish, before we go to a vote, we need to know that.
Okay. Do you want to present? I was just going to give some background on our company. We are headquartered out of Sanford, Connecticut. We have an office in California. We have offices in Europe and China. We have about 250 megawatts that we've produced or have under operations, about 3 gigawatts in the pipeline, multiple solar farms either built or sold in New York, Minnesota, Maine, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida. So, just wanted to give a background.
So you're saying you have significant experience in this. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Sounds good. All right. Tell us about the project and tell us, kind of the nuts and bolts about, what you guys had to do to meet the standards and get the project done.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. So the proposed project is located at 5792 Old Oneida Road. It is a 4.2 megawatt AC solar project. The project will be a single axis tracker project. You may or may not have seen, the two different varieties of solar projects that are being built across the state. There's the fixed tilt, which, do not move. These single axis tractors actually will rotate, and track the sun throughout the day. Right. And so that's what's being proposed here. So as part of the work done to date, obviously we had to, make sure that the proposed project complied with all of the, the setback requirements. The site plan we worked pretty hard to make sure that, your setbacks were met. As part of all of the work yes.
That's going to be one of our questions. So if you can address it right here, that would be probably good. So we're required 200 feet from a property line, correct?
And 300 feet
from a residential structure.
Yes.
Yep. Is that something that you'd be able to prove that you're 300 feet from the nearest residential structure?
Yeah, as you see on our drawings, we actually have submitted drawings that do depict the setback distances, and print that specific page out, but I know that it's been submitted to you. It's in the files. We have 200 feet from all the property lines, and we do have distances from all the structures nearby, and we are greater than 300 feet from all of those. That has been submitted to you.
Is that gap? I'm sorry, that's so loud. Is that gap right there more than 200 feet? The brown gap I can see between the fence and the back property lines of the homes on Old Oneida Road?
This distance from here to here?
Yes. Or do you believe that? Because, I feel like the homes are probably closer than 100 feet from the back of the property. Does it make sense to you? Do you hear what I'm saying on that one?
I know that we have all these things measured out.
I know. I need to
in a plan. I think the nearest property was here, and it was still 300 feet thereabouts away from the fence line, and that has been submitted to you.
We can probably give you one of the binders, and if you guys can somebody find you?
Yeah, that
find that
yeah,
map 100%. The binder.
Yep. 100%.
Does anybody want to give theirs up?
Yep.
Yes. Sure, Ken. Yeah. And you know what? Just keep going and he'll
sure.
Just, sure. We just We sure. got a list of things that we need to take care
of. Yeah, and if you don't find it, I'll make sure that you know, I track it down and I'll help them out though. But we did undertake that exercise. We labeled them all, and you should have a plan that depicts that. So okay. If I'd have known that was you wanted to see that, I would have made sure that I brought those drawings tonight. So I apologize for that. Yep. But anyway, that was definitely part of our analysis. And so what we've done to date, first and foremost on the environmental side, we've coordinated the proposed project with the State Historic Preservation Office. That included preparation of an archaeological survey on site to determine whether or not there were any potential artifacts below ground, and that survey indicated that there were none, and we received approval from the State Historic Preservation Office on that report. We've completed a wetland and waterway delineation on site. There are wetlands in the general vicinity, some of which are also regulated by the DEC. We have those shown on the plans. The most proximate wetlands are here on the proposed plans. They're shown in green. We have a 100-foot buffer around those, which would be dictated by the state that those have that kind of protection, regulated adjacent area. And so we're obviously we've laid out the proposed project so that it's away from all those regulated areas. So that work has been completed, and there's a whole host of other environmental analysis that have been completed. We've completed a glare analysis. The glare analysis has been submitted to you. It shows that there is not expected to be a significant amount of glare associated with this project onto the adjacent roads. We've completed a noise assessment. The noise assessment also has been provided. It shows that, generally speaking, these are good neighbors. They're not noisy, facilities. And our noise assessment shows that, at the property lines, we're really not expected to have a significant amount of noise, to the adjacent parcels. We've completed a wildlife management plan. Sort of unique to the city, and we've done a few of those of various towns throughout the state. I can appreciate that. Actually, I have a background in ecology, and so I appreciate the fact that you're thinking about wildlife. And so that plan has been completed. There's really not a ton that can be done with a facility. I mean, it is a it is a solar facility, and it is there to produce power. But in the meantime, there is a lot of green space in between the rows that can be used, can be planted to promote and enhance habitat for pollinators. So that's discussed in there. We've also, provided a fencing material that allows for passage of small mammals. So they're not going to be impacted by the facility. It allows them to go in and out easily, and it also at the same time will keep out some of the larger critters that could cause havoc inside the solar facility. But that's a pretty comprehensive report. If you have any more questions about that, we could certainly discuss that. We've prepared the State Environmental Quality Review Act, the seeker form. For the project for your use. So that's been provided. We're not in an agricultural district, so that that doesn't apply. There are no floodplains. So we're clear there. We've completed survey, both topographic survey and boundary. So all of our plans are based on real topo. Some folks, we see actually just use LIDAR or something, but our engineers want to make sure that we have drainage adequately addressed. And so all of our work is done using, real ground survey. And we've also completed property boundary survey as well for this site. And our engineers obviously have created these site plans. Included in this site plan package will be our general site plan, We'll have a grading plan depicted. There really is very minimal grading here. It's a flat site. Emeryn does a nice job at actually trying to find sites that don't require a lot of grading. As a general rule, the more grading you have, the less viable these projects are. But in any event, there really isn't going to be a lot of earthwork necessary in order to complete this project. We have a landscaping plan. You know, the landscaping plan is designed, to assist in the shielding of the project from adjacent landowners. Included in our submittal is visual simulations. What we do to identify potential impacts, visual impacts, is we do a GIS analysis to identify where the proposed project will be visible from. With that GIS analysis, then we'll actually do a site visit. We have a gentleman who's an expert in this, and he'll drive around the project area with that map in hand and actually try to find holes where he can see the proposed project area, and we'll update that viewshed map with anything that needs to be field verified. He'll take photos from all those representative locations, and then we will with those photographs we create simulations so that y'all can see what this thing may look like after construction. We use a special camera setting, and hopefully nobody's gonna quiz me on that. I don't know what that is, but it ensures that the scale of the simulations is true, it's accurate, it's an accurate depiction. Everything is located in real world coordinates. So where it shows on the visual renderings is in the correct location. Let's see here.
And what is in the areas that it is visible? And there's plans for screening in those cases. Any more details on what the screening will look like?
So the screening, Every town we get into, they sort of have their own requirements. And so some towns some municipalities like to have evergreens. And, some are more concerned about having native species, where some prefer a more natural look. And so oftentimes our initial submittal includes a safe, selection of species that are native, that are evergreen. We know that the deer aren't going to love them as much as others, and so that's usually two varieties of junipers. They don't grow too tall, right? We can't have them growing too tall because then they create shade on the arrays themselves. So that's usually our initial starting point, and that's why we've selected what we selected. We know we can get them too. So if native species are important, that fits. We have some other species, other varieties that we could pick if that's not preferred, to give it more of a variety. But it's really a discussion, and we're open to discussing that. We've prepared a stormwater pollution prevention plan for the project site, right? So that plan is prepared consistent with state requirements. In New York State, there are requirements that large projects like this treat, all impervious surfaces and make sure that water runoff, isn't exaggerated, post-construction, and that water quality of that runoff is treated. In New York State, there are, I'm trying to just talk about this in general, but if you meet certain requirements with regard to slope and with regard to spacing, these panels can be treated generally as pervious, believe it or not. And so the treatment is minimal. A lot of times what we really just try to do is just slow the water down, leaving the site, reduce the potential for erosion by creating diversion berms that where the water hits, it just spreads out and turns back into sheet flow. So, but that stormwater pollution prevention plan is completed, and I don't know. That's all the stuff that we've really done. I don't know if there are any questions. I don't know if you were able to find a drawing in the books or.
So Rick said that everything was uploaded.
The two things that you asked for were uploaded on April 12th with the file sharing program that you have.
Okay, so that's uploaded with the April 12th?
I think it was an updated map because that was a newer issue.
That makes sense then. So those initial binders, we submitted those on the first submittal then. So that map that with the setbacks would have been submitted at a later date.
Yep.
Electronically.
Yep.
The proof of those mailings was evident last week, or the last meeting, so we put those in when we got them.
That upload as well?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
All right, so can you, just so we can clarify for some of the neighbors, talk about the glare and how, make sure people understand how a single access tracker works and how the glare wouldn't be affected from those units. How far they actually swing? What's their downward angle?
Well,
at some point they stop tracking, right?
Correct. 45
correct. Degrees.
Yeah, basically, degrees, 60 degrees. Basically, at the evening they lay flat, right? And then, as soon as the sun comes up, they're pitched, towards the sun. I don't have the detail with the actual angles on it. I don't have that, and I don't have that off the top of my head. Regardless, I don't. Yeah. It's not in our typical detail sheet.
I mean, there's got to be a point of no return. With the
52.
Angle anyway.
52 degrees. 52 mm-hmm. degrees. I don't know. But in any event, we're asked this a lot, like, what do they look like? These things move relatively slowly throughout the day. In fact, if you're standing there in a field, you'd be hard-pressed to notice that they're moving, right? So they'll track from sun up to sun down. If you drove by at 8 o'clock and then drove by at noon, you'd recognize the fact that they had moved, but standing there, they really, you really wouldn't observe much at all.
And these panels have an anti-glare coating on them.
All of them do, yes. Yep, yep.
And obviously, because they're pointed directly at the sun, or intended to,
yeah,
the opportunity for glare is reduced because of that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%, yeah.
Do you guys understand what he means by that or no, Jen? So they're following access east to west, right? And because of that, the opportunity for glare is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And really on this site, you're...
Yeah, and I would say that the purpose...
...is in towards your road... If any, they would run towards your utility road and then towards the woods to the...
Yeah. And these things, we don't want light to reflect from them. We want to absorb it, right? And so that's really the point of these things. And so we do run a glare analysis to make sure that it doesn't look like there's anything, significant yep. coming off these things. And we have provided that, and it really shows that there isn't anticipated to be.
So they're running an east to west access. Mm-hmm. Are the panels pitched as well to the south to some degree? Assuming
they generally follow the contours of the of the property. So
if we're at the 40-foot laterals, generally panels yeah. will be equal for our sun is about 45 degrees to the south.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, are they're tilted this way and then swing like that?
They really flat, are they're
No, so here's my question.
Because the sun goes, normally, it's not straight above.
Our sun's to the south, right?
Yeah.
Northern hemisphere. Right. So in ideally in our climate, 45 degrees is about perfect because it moves from about, 60 to 15 degrees off of zero. So these panels, are they tilted at 45 and then it's rotating this way? Or
no, they're really kind of flat, and they follow the contours of the property. You know, sometimes we'll have to make grade adjustments, from time to time to make sure that there isn't any conflict there. But they generally follow the contour of the property. Yeah, they're not tilted and then rotate. You know, it's a big.
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, you'll point them at the sun.
I mean, during winter especially.
Yeah, because the winter, the sun's at 60 degrees. Yeah, but my point is.
I know what you're saying.
My point is, I know they're rotating this way. I'm assuming you're pointing them on the your north-south axis.
All right.
I'm assuming it's not point directly north or directly up.
We get to during the day, okay. They go like this, right?
Right, but they're not.
And
they're
that's
not
completely flat. Do they face the sun because the sun's in the lower?
No, generally not.
Okay.
No.
And then tilt like that?
No. Okay. Like they're generally flat and follow the contours of the land. Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question before you continue with that? All right. Can you explain in your submission that we have, the panel material says smooth glass without AR coating. Does that mean without anti-reflective coating?
So the glare analysis says that?
Yes.
Right. So. So this was explained to me. So there's a setting in there. I can get you a better explanation from our glare analysis.
We just need to know that it's anti-glare because our code and the state, our code at least prescribes that you need to use anti-glare, and if you do not, you're going to have to come back for an area variance.
Yeah,
that.
They're definitely anti-glare panels.
Okay. Yep. What's that? The update? Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
Can you just put that into the mic? Say that into the microphone.
The uploads from April 12th contain the anti-reflective coating document.
Okay.
Yeah, there's the glare analysis is complicated, but we did revise that and resubmit. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's right.
All right. So,
I just had,
can we do public first?
Sure.
Because that's what we typically do. And then we can go to questions unless you've got to fire one off. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask a related question to the angle. You know, I'm just looking at some of these pictures, and they do look like they're at a tilt, some of these.
The simulations?
Yeah. I don't know how accurate those are.
They're probably not perfect. It's a representation of what, you know, they may look like. They may not be perfect
in
that regard.
Could be an east-west tilt, too, as opposed to.
Yeah, they're not pitched to the south at all. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. What we're going to do, and we're not done with you guys yet, but we'll typically go to the public portion of the meeting at this point and see if anybody from the community wants to say anything.
Yeah.
What's that? We're going to go. They're going to go to the back. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that later. Okay. So we are back to the item here. Is anybody wishing to speak from the public? If you do, please go back to the back microphone and just state your name and address and go one at a time. And then we'll jot down any questions that you guys have. We shouldn't really have interaction between the applicant. Okay. That's the for decommissioning.
Hi there. My name is Gennady Ostbuck, 5673 Old Oneida Road. I go by Gino. What I gave you there to look at is best practices at the end of the photovoltaic system performance period. It's a National Renewable Energy Laboratory. My question was, how much did we have for decommissioning for this site? Speaking to the gentleman earlier, they said this permit is for 25 years with up to 3 5-year extensions, which in my math is 40 years. So the document I gave you shows a 1 megawatt system. So we got to do it times 4 and then adjust for inflation. So That's my question for you, gentlemen.
Thank you. And that's on our list. So we will we'll definitely ask that question.
So do you guys have a number for decommissioning at this point?
This isn't a back and forth. You can state what you want and then.
Okay.
We'll do our best to address it when it comes to dealing with the applicant.
Okay. My other question was, how do you guys treat like the grass and stuff? Like, do you guys spray?
Just ask us the question.
Okay.
And then,
we'll address it.
And then we'll.
That's my question also is the pollution and all that.
Say it again.
Grass control, like, are they spraying any herbicides and things like that?
Okay.
So that's the plan for that. That's my couple concerns is decommission costs. And
thanks, Gino. Appreciate it. Anybody else wishing to speak? Go ahead. State your name and address, please.
My name is Tom Butler. My address is 5680 Olden Natter Road. Good evening. My name is Tom Butler, and that's where I live. I own 70 acres directly adjacent to the proposed solar farm. I'd like to start by saying I'm opposed to this project. Our government, on a larger scale than this specific body, has a flawed sense of what is important in this country. We are continuing allowing foreign governments, citizens of foreign countries, and foreign companies to systematically buy, lease, and pillage our most underappreciated natural resource, our farmland. Through no fault of their own, farmers are being pressured to sell and lease their land to these people and organizations because farming is no longer profitable. Our government sets the price of corn, the price of soybeans, and the price of milk. Who can blame a farmer for allowing a foreign business to lease or buy their property if it's more profitable than the system their own government has set up for them? This project is a microcosm of that flawed sense of what is valuable to a nation, a state, or in this specific case, a community. I know the zoning board isn't concerned with my personal opinions on politics or business practices, and it shouldn't be. The responsibility of the zoning board is to decide whether the city of Rome will allow a project in an area that doesn't allow this type of activity. I would like to reference some material contained in the Rome Code of Ordinances. Section 80-5.1.A, purpose. AG, agricultural district. The AG agricultural district is intended to promote and protect agricultural land. The standards of the ag district are to protect and promote the continuation of farming and to protect agricultural land uses from encroachment of incompatible developments. The appeals process is set up for special circumstances. The standard is that this type of project isn't allowed. The city has a duty to follow its own ordinances, and in this case, to promote and to protect agricultural land and the continuation of farming. The full burden of convincing the board otherwise should be on the applicant, not the community. I heard about the last zoning board meeting via Facebook. I called the city of Rome and was asked about the process for informing the community. I would like to refer to section 80-19.11-5. Notice to landowners. For tier 3 solar energy systems, project applicant must provide notice of the signing of a lease of land, option to lease the land, or any other contract for compensation for anticipated adverse impacts with the landowner associated with the project proposal to all landowners within 1,000 feet of the property line of the land under contract. Notice shall be deemed sufficient if such notice is mailed by registered mail, posted as prepaid, and deposited into the exclusive care and custody of the United States Postal Service within 15 business days of signing of the contract. I never received that letter, and I'd like to see the record that Emron sent me such a notice within 15 business days of signing the contract to lease this land. I was told the city of Rome sent letters about the zoning board meeting out to affected residents and that one had been sent to my address. I will not say the letter was not sent, but I did not receive it. The city of Rome codes department, in my limited experience, has always been a professional and helpful group of people, and I have no doubt they sent the letter. My impression has changed a little bit today, but moving on. I see a problem here. I'd like to refer to section 80-19.11-8-4B. Applicants shall have delivered the notice by first class mail to all landowners within 1,000 feet of the property line at least 10 days prior to such a hearing. Proof of mailing shall be presented to the Zoning Board of Appeals at a public hearing. Shall be presented at the hearing. When I brought up the fact that I had not received the first class letter from Emeryn informing me of the zoning board meeting, and then referenced the ordinance stating it's the applicant's responsibility, not the city's responsibility, to notify residents, I was told I would get a call back. I did, the next day around 9:30 a.m., and was told by a city employee that Emeryn had gone through this through staffing turnover and they had not sent out the letters. I was then told the meeting was canceled. Not that the issue was going to be tabled, but the meeting had been canceled. Now, if there was miscommunication between myself and the city employee, that is fine. Even if I told the issue was going to be tabled instead of the meeting being canceled. Isn't there supposed to be a motion to table an item and second to affirm that? How does the city employee know this board will vote, how this board will vote before the motion has ever been brought to the table? This doesn't sit well with me, and it hasn't ever since it occurred. So far, I've talked about two specific ordinances this company hasn't followed. The ordinance is put in place to protect the community. Remember, I said the burden of proving that this board should deviate from protecting farmland and promoting agriculture in this district should be on the applicant, not the community. When you start with the site plans, it becomes blatantly apparent the same disregard for the city's written ordinances continues. All you have to do is look at the plans and realize that it's copy and pasted from another project, cutting corners at the expense of the city and local residents. The site plans even reference the town of Afton. It's not a great attention to detail. There's a plan to visually buffer to Old Oneida Road. How about me? The property line that I share with this parcel is almost 2,000 feet. That's almost half a mile. There's absolutely nothing in the plans that buffer my property visually from this proposed project. I'd like to refer to section 80-19.11-8C5D. Submit a screening and landscaping plan to show adequate measures to screen through landscaping, grading, or other means so that views of solar panels and solar energy equipment shall be minimized as reasonably practical from public roadways and from adjacent properties to the extent feasible. There is nothing in the plan to protect my view shed that comprises over 2,000 feet of shared property line. This is something I shared with a city employee before that meeting was canceled, and it seems like it's been updated and addressed. But I would urge the board to continue to look into this. Section 80-19.11.8A7.D, glare. All solar panels shall have anti-reflective coatings. Solar panels must be placed so that the concentrated solar radiation or glare is not directed onto any nearby properties or roadways. The plans list the panel material as a smooth glass without AR coating. That's what is online. That's what you gave to the public. That's the plans we have. It's another blatant disregard of city ordinances. There's more. The current drainage model and the way the applicant describes this project on the SEACR Part 1 form are two completely different things. In the SEACR Part 1, the applicant responds to this question. Would the proposed action cause or result in alteration of, increase, decrease the size of, or encroachment into any existing wetland, water body, shoreline, beach, or adjacent area? The applicant writes, quote, three wetlands, one stream, and two ditches were identified by CNS staff within the vicinity of the projects. No impacts to wetland or stream habitats are anticipated as a result of the proposed project. Non-jurisdictional portions of the ditches will be impacted by the proposed project. These non-jurisdictional ditches drain directly into the aforementioned delineated wetlands and the Class 3 stream. The project footprint is within 100 feet of that Class 3 stream, and the runoff from the project site will drain directly onto the stream. And that stream drains directly onto my property and my neighbor's properties. Here's a quote directly from the conclusion section of the submitted wetlands report. CNS was retained by Emeryn Inc. to complete a wetland and waterway survey for the proposed project. Wetland areas were assessed as waters of the United States subject to United States Army Corps of Engineers and New York State DEC jurisdiction. These features are also classified consistent with the classification of wetlands and deep water habitats of the United States. Wetlands Y and Z are subject to regulation under Article 24 of the Freshwater Wetlands Act, as well as Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. Additionally, any work done within 100 feet of adjacent areas of New York State DEC regulated wetlands will also require an Article 24 permit. Water quality certification will be required by the New York State DEC for any Section 404 permit issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. The wetlands described herein satisfy the criteria to be a wetland pursuant to the 1995 New York State DEC Freshwater Wetland Delineation Manual and the Army Corps of Engineers 1987 Manual, with subsequent clarification memoranda pursuant to confirmation by the United States Army Corps of Engineers. One stream, Stream C, was identified within the area of interest. Stream C is considered an intermittent stream, and based on the field review and aerial photography, may connect to wetlands outside of the AOI, or area of interest. Therefore, Stream C may be subject to the jurisdiction by the Army Corps of Engineers. I can tell you definitely and definitively that Stream C does connect to wetlands outside of the area of interest. The current drainage plan dumps all the runoff and drainage from this project into designated wetlands. Wetlands designated by the New York State DEC and the streams defined by the United States Army Corps of Engineers. I have handouts if you want to visualize how the drainage patterns are currently set up for the property, and it's pretty easy to see. I could keep going and going, but here's what I hope you take away from this. I want to get back to the basics of what you are required to consider and rule on for a special use permit application as an appointed zoning board of this city. Section 80-19.2F, findings of fact. The nature and intensity of operations of the use will not be more objectionable to the surrounding properties than those of a permitted use. Examples of measure of potential impacts due to the nature and intensity of development include, but are not limited to, traffic generations, hours of operation, size and scale, noise, odor, dust, glare, smoke, and environmental hazards. I can tell you as a surrounding property, I do find this use more objectionable than the already permitted use. Section 80-19.2F6. The use and the proposed design of the building and other structures and site facilities for the use are appropriate in the proposed location and have incorporated reasonable efforts to harmonize with surrounding uses and mitigate any adverse impacts on surrounding uses, including but not limited to traffic congestion and hazards, untimely scheduling of activities, removal of trees and other established natural features, and excessive stormwater runoff, noise, nuisance, odors, glare, or vibration. I would not consider this company's efforts reasonable. They have disregarded our ordinances and our procedures from the start, and there's no reason we should expect that they will change. The proposed non-coated solar panels and their plans will obviously create glare. All the stormwater runoff from these panels are channeled into either New York State DEC delineated wetlands or into the Class C stream that flows directly onto my property and my neighbor's properties. Let's not forget, everyone out there has a well. We don't have city water. Any impacts to our watershed affect us as a community, our health, our children's health, and the health of the ecosystem as a whole. Section 80-19.2F8. The cumulative impacts of the use of the proposed location will not unreasonably interfere with or diminish the continued use, preservation, stability, value, enjoyment, prosperity, or growth of the neighborhood or community. In evaluating the cumulative impacts, the board will consider the proximity of other special permit uses, particularly those similar to the use proposed. It will unreasonably interfere with the enjoyment of my property personally, but I can't speak for anyone else. I can tell you this, that I would like the board to listen to my statements instead of talking to each other while I'm making them.
Yep. I apologize. I was looking for a DEC document that you referenced.
I can tell you this. It will unreasonably interfere with the enjoyment of my property personally, but I cannot speak for anyone else. Even though the huge solar companies tell you that there is no impact to home values adjacent to their sites, there is. There just hasn't been enough time for people to gauge the impact it truly has. Independent studies that are not financed by huge solar companies found that properties and homes adjacent to solar farms saw on average a 3% decrease in their home values. Let's consider proximity to other solar farms as well. We already have a solar farm at the end of our road. Different situation, state land, surrounded by mostly state-owned buildings, etc. If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the solar arrays that supplement the city of Rome owned buildings and their electric bill. Even though I'm not a huge fan of this site either, at least the city of Rome got something out of that project. The people of Rome stand to gain nothing from this project. A foreign-owned company selling electricity to a foreign-owned company who then sells it back to the residents at whatever rate they deem fair. How will this help our community? Are our electricity bills going to go down? No. Is the value of our property going to increase? No. Are we going to get something beautiful to look at? No. Is the city of Rome's tax revenue going to go up? No. There's a 15-year grace period on taxes for solar farms. That's right. This company won't pay a dime in taxes to the city of Rome for 15 years. So the community and the city of Rome gain absolutely nothing from this project, not a dollar. We're just putting it in the pockets of someone else. I understand expansion and the goal to make Central New York a leader in the manufacturing processes of the future. We have places we can put solar panels, put them at Griffiths, put them at other industrial sites. Pushing development and green energy shouldn't come at the cost of the community. We shouldn't have to sacrifice the value of our homes, excuse me, the safety of our drinking water, and the loss of prime farmland just so a foreign-owned company can make a buck. A company who has already shown that they don't have enough interest in our city or our community to follow our ordinances, laws, and the requirements that have been set forth. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to my concerns. I also appreciate the service you are providing to the citizens of the city. Please consider that the service to the citizens of your city when making this decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, the public portion is closed.
No.
I see it.
Hey, I gotta take one quick break.
Let's just give us 1 second for
what are you looking for, John?
The county response, and I assume we have a DEC response on there as well. So it could have been at the bottom of the bottom of this one. I handed it down.
Guys, this doesn't happen very often. It's got to be in my stuff.
Literally, just
I apologize. Sorry about that. Okay, to finish up the public portion, I'm going to read into the record other notices that we've received electronically and from government agencies. So first, this is from Oneida County Department of Planning, county referral number OC187682.
The applicant is Ameren Bradley Davis, municipality City of Rome, location at 5792 Old Oneida Road. The action is special use proposed tier 3 solar energy system covering approximately 20 acres of the 141 acre property. The box is checked for no recommendations as to final action. This is dated 1/23/2024, and it's signed by James J. Genovese, the second commissioner of planning. This is okay. This is for a notice of intent for lead agency. What about the second one?
It's just the
okay.
The notification to the different agencies.
Got it. All right. So that's all we have to read into the record for that. Okay. Thank you. At this point, we can open it up to questions from the board, if anybody has any questions. All right, Jim, go ahead. Mr. DeCastro.
Okay. How long has this company been in business?
2006.
Okay. How many projects do you think that you own, approximately?
Own?
Yeah.
Half dozen, perhaps.
So you've got about a half a dozen projects that you own?
That we own, yeah.
Okay. Are they on leased or you own the property?
I don't know the answer to that. Okay. I would assume leased, but I don't know.
Okay. So you haven't done any decoms yet?
No.
Okay. What do you think that your bond amount for the decom is going to be?
That's an Arif question. He's listening, and I'll tell you that shortly.
Well, right here it says 25,000 per MWAC.
Okay, so it's 5 megawatts, yeah.
4.2.
Okay, so it'll be a little over 100,000.
Okay, so at today's rate, you're going to post a $100,000 bond, and this gentleman gave me a summary of approximately 368,000 per one ray field. I did my own on this whole four. Yeah, right. I did my own, and I came up with just over $1 million without the removal of the conduits and the shelters. So I'm an excavator, so I went through it. And what each panel, all right, how many panels are there?
Probably around,
I think there's 13,800. At today's rate, to get rid of a panel is $29. There's $3 to $6 of recovery fee in a panel. You know what's in the panels? You know what they're made of?
Not all the contents.
Okay.
No.
They're made of silicone tetrachloride, selenium, sulfur hexafluoride, which is contributed to greenhouse gas, cadmium, which will cause mutated DNA, copper, aluminum, sealants, plastic, and glass. Those are all in there. And those come from the Silicon Valley Research Center. Nobody's ever done a environmental study before, during, and after with concerns of to runoff for streams and other areas, farmland, people's yards, going through. This is what's in these panels. They're going to be probably classified, the DEC is trying to classify them right now, as a hazardous material. And they're right now with the EPA trying to do this as a hazardous material, and they will have to go to a hazardous dump, which will probably take the cost up. There's no way for us, all right, do you keep your units or do you sell them?
Your fields.
Do you sell them?
Project?
Yeah, your projects.
Yeah, some.
Okay. So here's another problem that I have with this. There's no way for us to know if you sell that field because the landowner still owns the land. So your bond becomes null and void. Do you think the second or third owner is going to give us a bond and we don't have an accurate $125,000 for a decommission? When they put the solar array out on the dump in Tannery Road, that was sold 3 times before they even put a shovel in the ground. So we cannot even try to track that. Okay.
Yeah, the bonds go with the LLCs. The companies are, there may be a different parent company, but the LLC remains the same. And so whatever you're bonding for, that LLC, you know, maintains the bond.
So 3 years ago in Verona, Sun City came in and wanted to put a solar array. A week before, they were in California filing for bankruptcy and trying to put a solar array field here. So who's to say in 18 years that you go bankrupt, you give the bond company $125,000, and the city's left with this project. Now, here's the other problem with this project. This poor landowner gives 20 acres. After 15 years, I don't know the tax, how this goes, but if this bond gets reneged or they pay the $125,000 to try to save face, this guy can't tear this place down. He's still going to pay taxes on it. If he don't pay the taxes on it, the city comes and takes that piece of property away. The city's not going to do it because then they're going to have to decommission, but legally they're probably going to have to. So now who's going to decommission this project because we can't escalate this bond? And I just heard that it's a 20-year with a 3-5-year increase in clause. So it's a 35-year. So without an accurate escalating clause to do this, an operating engineer gets $117 an hour now. So that alone is way out of proportion to his thing on the taking for the grass. You're supposed to mow the grass every time it hits 8 to 10 inches. It was in your proposal. I got so many papers in front of me right now. I've never yet ever seen a solar field that's ever been mowed. As far as the quality, yes, their properties are shown to decrease. Is it going to affect the neighborhood? That's a beautiful farmland piece down there to see all these solar fields in these people's property. We do not benefit from this, not one iota, as far as power, anything else. And you want to come in here and put a solar field in our community without regards to this community to make money on your project, which we'll never see it. Is this a privately funded or is this a federally or state grants in this project? And how much is it? Because I doubt like heck that you guys are going to fork out whatever this project is going to be out of your pocket to make what it is. We've got 5 months out of the year that you barely make any money on it. I come home through the winter, I got solar power lights. They're never on. Okay. And I know there's a huge difference, but there's somewhat of a similarity. So in the winter, you're not going to make any power, very little. So we're going to get caught holding all this stuff with the city, and the city cannot track this bond. There's no way to do it. And as far as your glare analysis, is this done by the manufacturer who's stating that this glare or is it an independent study, or is it an engineer?
We prepared that, CNS engineers.
So did you actually take the panels and go through the whole study and do it and have an engineer to do it? I don't know what it consists of.
No, there's a program, a computer model that we pay a subscription for. They actually, we input, the information with regard to the project into that model, and then they, will provide an output of glare.
All right, so it's a model. So nobody's actually seen this panel sitting there in the heat of the day and driving by to see if it's a model trying to generate it, not really knowing. Right? So it's never actually been tested.
But there definitely are some solar projects out there, right? I mean, they have them at airports, right? They're not producing glare at airports. Right. That would be, they have them on the runways.
Because what I don't like here is it says no glare predicted. Mm-hmm. So if it glares and you got 13,488 panels out there, we have no recourse. Do we? We're not going to tell you to come in and tear them down because you certainly aren't, because we gave you the okay to put them up. So it says predicted. You're covered by predicted. It doesn't say guaranteed or field tested. No more questions.
Thanks, Mr. DeCastro. Anybody else? Mr. Tucker.
Access to the documents that were uploaded on April 12th.
Mark.
Do we have access to the documents that are uploaded on April 12th?
Yes, you do have access.
Because it sounds like there's some documents that we haven't seen that we need to see in order to make a render a decision on this project. So I'll be honest with you, I'm going to vote to table it because I need to be able to see those documents in order to make a decision.
All right, I have a motion to table. Anybody just want to second that?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor of tabling this? Any discussion first? Okay. Anybody want to? All right. So, before we table it, do we want to discuss Raymond, what would you require? I mean, we've had a lot of questions.
Haven't seen the drawing that shows the distance. I combed through that whole book. I can't find a drawing that shows the distances from the property lines.
Yeah,
again, but obviously I hadn't seen that. They talked about different or discrepancies in the panel description. One's having anti-glare, one's having glare. Obviously, I want to make sure that we have ones that are anti-glare. And we also have the issue of the confirmation of notice given to 1,000 feet within the properties. So
I also feel like the principal should, I mean, he's online right now, but like he seems to be the one answering most of the questions here.
So the name on everything is Bradley Davis, and he's the one that's gone. So he coordinated everything, and that's why there's a little disconnect.
Okay, but you said Mr. Alana is answering most of the questions, correct?
Yeah, I have.
Is it possible if we do table this that he would be able to attend the next meeting, or is he?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer that. I can speak to some of these concerns. So the 15 days notice for the lease signing, we signed the lease before that that ordinance was in place. we're publicly. I don't know that offhand. I just know it was before.
All right. So what are the particular dates? When did those standards go into effect? Ballpark.
I have it on.
This was the 2023. Adopted 2018.
No, the new.
Oh, that's right. That was later. I'm sorry. Yeah, 125/23.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
January of last year.
So that's actually one of the question that was raised about when, you know, before you guys signed the lease. I mean, again, if it's, and I have it on here, I'm not checking my messages. So we're going to need, that's going to be part of, if we do table, that'll be part of what we would need as well is proof that you have satisfied that component, or that if it was previous to this being passed.
That's all I have.
Okay. I assume so. Yeah. Angie, what do you think? Do you want to? So we're talking about the notification before the lease is signed. Does it matter?
Yeah, what's they going to do? If they didn't do it, what will they do? We do the application.
You're welcome. Let's take a look at the proof that he submits first, and then we'll go from there in terms of making a decision.
Okay.
And then, so we arrange a pilot program, which is a payment in lieu of taxes. And over the course of the project, it'll pay $1.7 million to the jurisdictions. And then we, ARIF will open up discussions for a host community agreement, and then it'll bring in over $200,000 in additional tax payments to the town.
Okay.
That tax, is that for the 20 years, 25, 30, or 40?
You said it was a 15-year agreement, did you say?
The course of the project.
Well, they had a 20-year with three fives, right?
Right. No, I didn't know what the pilot.
Yeah, so I don't know what that's.
I don't know the exact of the lease.
Yep. Okay.
It would be for the lifetime of the project.
If this ends up getting tabled, Jim, do you also want to get an information on the bonding, like, or a better?
This year, I believe, is the first year in New York State that solars have been decommissioned. And I think there's going to be a lot of problems with things. So how do we control the escalation? How do we control? They only own six. I don't know how many they've done, but if they sell them, how do we control that? And how are we going to know? And how are we going to be kept, you know, that this will never come back to the city or the homeowner?
The entity stays the same. The entity is bonded, the LLC.
Yeah, it's bonded for $125,000.
Which will grow.
At today's thing, this is probably close to $1 million. I mean, I just did, just in the 14,000 panels at $30 a piece.
Well, I mean, there's economies of scale. Right. And I mean, that's
your figure, and what we have is.
Okay, and then for me, as far as. I'm just reading this into the record. So,
sure.
If you, there's a few other questions that I had that if we table it, I would like to have addressed probably at the next meeting. So you indicate in your proposal that there will be barbed wire. I believe barbed wire is prohibited. Did they take that out? Okay. Okay.
I'd like to just provide one clarification for Mr. DeCastro. The applicants for a Tier 3 solar permit must accompany their application to the site plan. A $10,000 fee to defray costs of an engineer consultant retained by the city to review the applicant's decommissioning site restoration estimate in accordance with Section V of the subdivision. If the cost is less than $10,000, the city will return the balance to the applicant.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I think we've got that, and we've got, you know, we want to make sure the setback, the 300-foot. If you guys have a map of that.
I'm sorry, Mark. So that's during site plan review, but we're the one that has the purview over bonding.
No.
I thought the code called out that we had purview over bonding. Or am I mistaken?
Mark, we got another question.
Do we have purview over bonding, or is the planning board?
Excuse me?
Do we have purview over the bond, or is it site risk planning board?
It's built in the planning board.
Okay.
For they'll have money to hire an outside consultant to look at the engineering analysis and the dollars associated with what they're basing their decommissioning bond on.
Okay, so bonding's not our issue, it's the board's.
Correct.
Any other discussion? All right, we have a motion and a second to table this item.
Are there any rebuttals from the public here?
No, not at this point.
There'll be another, if we do it again, there'll be another public hearing.
Will it be held by the
dot? It'll be at the, be, we'll table it till the next meeting.
We'll go to normal procedure.
I'm sorry.
It'll go through normal procedure, so it'll be within 250 feet of the property. We send notice, otherwise,
I would think. First Wednesday,
it's the first Wednesday of the month, right here, 6 o'clock.
Same thing.
6:30.
It's on.
That's okay. No, I'm.
It's in the paper. The paper is our spot with what our public. I understand that, but I'm just like.
Do we don't owe notice again? Do we?
What's that?
Do we owe notice again?
That's not a question for. I don't believe so, but I don't know that for a fact. No, not for a table then. We don't require people to renotice again unless there's something different in this update of the code. Okay. All right. Do I need
Has the city declared themselves lead agency under SEAKER? Has that been completed? Yes. That process has been completed. And do you have involved and interested agency responses? And
we only received
you don't have anything yet.
Planning.
That's from planning. That's it. So when were those? When were those issued? The lead agency letters.
Letters went out. January 8th.
Okay.
All right. Letters went out to the agencies.
So the 30 days is complete then, and that process is essentially over then.
That's correct.
Right. So have you made a determination on SEAKER at all, or you're tabling the whole discussion to the next meeting, including SEAKER?
Yeah, we would have done SEAKER if we were going to vote on it.
All at the same time. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. And the 239M referral that came back.
That was read into the record.
Yeah, it was from the county. Yep.
Okay. Could you just make sure we get a copy of that?
Yeah, that was the one that I had to search for and that I finally found.
Trying to find.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we have for our records, I appreciate that.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Are we ready for the question? Do we all in favor of tabling this item? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Say no. Motion is tabled. All right. We're back on the first Wednesday of the month, and we'll make sure that we have all our ducks in a row and just, you guys know what we're looking for from there. Correct.